to the Fantasy Footballers Podcast with your hosts, Andy Holloway, Jason Moore, and Mike Wright.
Welcome in. Thursday, March 31st, the Fantasy Footballer's back with you. That's the first time I scared myself with the intro.
It was fiery.
I don't know if I was a little closer to the microphone than I normally am or what happened, but
maybe you're just jacked up for this episode, man.
Is that it?
I think so.
But here we are. Intro has been completed. Mike Wright, Jason Moore, Andy Holloway, Judge Giamatti, Al Borland with you. How you doing, Brooksy?
Excellent.
Yeah? You doing okay?
Yeah.
Having a good day?
Yeah, it's a good Wednesday.
All right.
It's Thursday, Brooks.
Yeah.
Way to ruin the illusion.
Have you, I'm not trying to needle or poke or anything. This is just genuine concern from one friend to another over the live airways. Have you recovered from your very illustrious but disappointing dynasty fantasy football season where you were on a 10 game winning streak into the playoffs?
It was on a rocket ship.
And then fell short. Oh wait, in the title game?
Yeah.
Are you over that?
Maybe.
That's
I guess
a no.
Not quite.
That's a no.
Has it been a while since you thought about it?
Yeah, pretty much.
Every morning.
Yeah, I try to block it out.
But now you're thinking about it.
Yeah.
What a great start to the day.
You're still sad.
Yeah, I'm not over mine either, Brooksy. So we can be sad together. But today we have a lot going on. We've got a quick question about a player that I think is on the hearts and minds of many fantasy football managers that I'm excited to talk about. We're going to do some mailbag, answer some big questions on today's show. I want to remind you can get involved with the Ultimate Draft Kit right here, right now. You can get into the Dynasty Pass right here, right now at ultimatedraftkit.com and take a look at the new rookie mock draft. My son was asking me about all the big names. Wanted to know the big quarterbacks. He's starting to get his head around towards
sure.
the new year.
Did you tell him? No, you don't. With regards to the quarterbacks?
Well, no. I mean, I told him about Malik Willis, and I told him about Golden Corral. you know, we've got a tremendous list of wide receivers that we care about, right? Some field stretchers out there. Garrett Wilson.
Yeah, no, I love I think this wide receiver class is great, and obviously I'm a Breece Hall truther till the end.
The Wright household is having some fallout because of the free agent frenzy of – now, when I walk in the door after, you know, just a long day here at the
honey,
office.
Honey, I'm home.
Just, I mean, you know, work.
Right, yeah.
Get home, and my son's like...
loosen the tie.
Like, who got traded? Who got, like, immediately, it's not, hey, Dad, how are you doing? It's, who has changed teams? I need to know immediately, because now he has been programmed and desensitized, thinking that this crap happens all the time. The NFL has broken him.
Yeah, I had the same conversation with my son last night where he was like, I had to tell him about Carson Wentz to the Commanders, you know, which is a weird sentence altogether. And then Matt Ryan is the quarterback of the Colts now. Whew. It's going to be fun, though. I mean, we're going to be in the thick of it soon enough. The draft coming up. Rookie preview shows, Jason, next week.
Yes, I am very excited. So if you don't feel up to date on the 2022 rookies, tune in next week, or if you do and you want our thoughts on all those prospects, I'm always looking forward to this season when we get to break those guys down. I do have a question here.
Okay.
I see in our draft doc, we have a Fantasy Hitman's trade targets article.
Yep. Yeah.
That is coming out.
That's live. That's in the area that says the Dynasty Pass was updated, and that includes.
Oh, excellent. I have a question about that. I have not looked yet. Is Irv Smith? Is Irv Smith a
Irv
target?
Irv Smith is a trade target.
My man.
Yes.
All right.
Yes.
That's it. That's all I needed to make sure.
Now, to be clear, was that Jason basically stamping his approval on your article, Mike?
At least Irv Smith.
Yeah. One out of at least, you know, 20.
You should pick up the UDK Plus.
Yeah, well, I just hadn't read that article yet.
We'll get you a discount or something.
Yeah.
once you join the Foot Clan. So let's go ahead and jump into the quick question.
Trending or ending?
All right. Will Alvin Kamara bounce back to double-digit rushing touchdowns in 2022? Let me read you his history in the rushing touchdown department. Broke into the NFL 2017, played only 45% of snaps that year, had 8 touchdowns. Followed that up with a huge campaign, 14 rushing touchdowns in 2018 with Drew Brees. 2019 with Drew Brees, just 5 rushing touchdowns. Missed a couple games that year. Then ballooned back up to 16 rushing touchdowns in 2020. Once again with Drew Brees. And then last year, missed a few games, just 4 rushing touchdowns. So it's been a, you know, you look at the player profile on the website and you see this ping pong between double digit years. Really, when I look at this situation, I see 3 years where he was a fundamental piece of the offense with Drew Brees, and 2 of those years, 14 and 16 touchdowns. Last year, lots of challenges on the offensive side of the ball for this team, including his injuries. I guess I would vote no. I don't think he's going to get back into double-digit touchdowns.
What if I change the question to, does he hit double-digit touchdowns, period?
Total. Because
easy.
Yes. That's kind of where I am. It's a definite no on the rushing touchdowns. He had the most rushing attempts, of his career, but the offense isn't as good, obviously, without Drew Brees. And if you look at just total team points over the last decade, they were 9th, 8th, 2nd, 4th, 3rd, 3rd, 5th. See, they're all top 10, and then Drew Brees leaves, and they're 19th. That's just touchdown scoring opportunities. Now, I agree with you, though. That doesn't mean Alvin Kamara is not good for fantasy. He should score double-digit touchdowns, if it's 5 through the air, 5 on the ground, great. I don't really care how they come. But it does take away that upside of 5 through the air, 14 on the ground. That window has closed, and it was locked, and then it rusted. So I don't think that's happening anymore.
It will be very interesting to see what happens. I mean, despite the only appearing out of 13 of 17 games, this was the highest opportunities he's ever seen. This is the most rushing attempts. It's the first time over 200 carries in a season. But that felt like a bit of a product of, the main guys. There was no duo. There was no Mark Ingram, Alvin Kamara. There was no true second running back on the team. So everything went to Kamara. What does the new regime do with Alvin Kamara? We had interesting just rumors, never anything substantiated, but rumors of Sean Payton thinking that Alvin Kamara was not built to carry a true heavy workload, which maybe he's right. The highest opportunities of his career, only shows up for 13 games. So that will be an interesting thing that you have to kind of make your choice of when you're in the draft. But to be the running back 8 when you had Jameis for the first 6 games of the season or whatever it was, I can't remember, and then just really not great quarterback play, he's still going to be very, very solid. But his quarterback is Jameis, either recovering from the injury or the newly minted backup quarterback for the New Orleans Saints, Andy Dalton.
Is Mark Ingram under contract or not?
He is. He is under
contract. I thought it was one more year.
Is he?
Yeah,
okay.
He's under contract, but he's 32 years old. Right. I think I would be surprised if they don't go out and draft a running back. They have to. They did not want to give Alvin Kamara the workload that they gave him last year, obviously based on, all the years of success where they weren't using him that way, but they didn't have a choice. Tony Brooks, James Jones Jr. Was injured and then
instantly.
Yeah, so there was no other option, and then they finally traded for Ingram, and that's great. He's under contract, but he's 32.
It's so confusing to me.
They will draft a running back.
Because I thought his deal with Houston, because they traded for Ingram, his deal with Houston was a 1-year deal. But then when I'm looking up contract information, he's still under contract for 2022. So I'm a little confused by that situation.
Did they restructure?
I don't know. I just don't understand how a 1-year deal becomes a 2-year deal. But nevertheless, your point is well said, where they were moving on from Ingram. This was an emergency pact. They were trying to find somebody else to fill that void. I think it does have to do with total scoring. So It's going to be a challenge, and ultimately this comes down to, and we got early ranking shows immediately following the rookie preview shows.
Whew.
But right here, right now, which big running backs do you take over Kamara? I mean, Jonathan Taylor's
for sure.
King Henry?
Yeah, yes.
What about Dalvin Cook and CMC?
Christian McCaffrey is for sure.
And Dalvin Cook to me is for sure as well.
Is he?
Okay. Yeah, I think that he's proven great. He didn't look bad, and his offense is, you've got Kirk, you've got Justin Jefferson. It should be more of the same in a redraft.
What about Eckler and Mixon and Najee? Where does Kamara fall into that?
I would take Eckler above Kamara, and then I think it would be Kamara.
All right, so he did sign an extension with the Saints.
Yes.
Oh,
they restructured this March.
And has Kamara's legal situation, is that just gone? If you don't recall, he got in a bit of a fight, a scuffle. I can't remember the exact details on the top of my head, but back in the...
was it at the Pro Bowl?
Yes. Yeah, the Pro Bowl in Vegas, something happened.
Preliminary hearing in court April 25th for that.
So he may even be facing a one or two game suspension. Yeah.
It's going to be interesting. And again, there are certain players, and I think Cook is in the same category as Kamara for this, where there is a bit of like excellence fatigue, where you just are doing the same thing for the same team for multiple years, and people like... I think a lot of people will bend towards Najee Harris, for example, over Alvin Kamara due to the youth and the fact that you're looking... And this is philosophical. I'm not saying it's wrong, but you might be looking for something that you haven't seen before, as opposed to, I hope I get what I have seen from Kamara. And that's not always...
Well, whenever you're looking at, is Dalvin Cook going to have his best year ever? Is Alvin Kamara going to have their best year ever this year? No. Could Najee have his best year ever? Like, the arrows are pointing up for the young guys and the hopeful guys, and even if it's a slow slope, they're pointing down for the older guys. But I think Dalvin has a very good year this year.
What about James Conner and Alvin Kamara?
Does a
courageous person take James Conner?
I think I'd take Kamara.
A crazy person. All right. Let's talk news.
News and notes from around the league.
Well, you mentioned it. Andy Dalton has joined the ranks of backup quarterback for the New Orleans Saints.
Congratulations.
Joins all the other backup quarterbacks that are currently on the roster, which would be Jameis Winston, Taysom Hill.
Well, Taysom Hill is now focused. He's locked in. He's going to be a tight end.
Well, that'll be interesting for fantasy football. Yeah, if he's going to be locked into that position, you know that there are going to be some differentiators in the way he's used at tight end. He may throw the football on a single play in that position. He may have some value.
I'm really curious to see if when he's focused on tight end, does that mean that he is a full-time tight end? Because even before, he wasn't, you know,
no,
playing 100% of snaps. He was
you can't have
a gadget player.
You can't have Taysom Hill blocking.
Well, you can give it a go.
Yeah.
I mean, if you have the backstop of Andy Dalton that you didn't have before, I mean, that kind of...
But I'm saying
structure in
even
the depth chart
as a receiving option, right? They don't have that many receiving weapons in this offense. They've got Michael Thomas and then crickets. And so, you know, you don't want Evan Ingram blocking, and he's out there as a pass catching tight end. That being said, obviously Taysom Hill's a little bit older. It'll just be interesting to see if he's relevant for fantasy as a tight end. Right now, I would say he's not going to be reliable.
And I would say you weren't going to know the truth about his utilization until week one. So he could be a player that you draft with your last pick and just see what happens. We talk about tight ends, right? They're all going to suck. So finding out that all of a sudden he's getting 80% of snaps and a few targets and a rush.
It would shock me. Like, Taysom Hill, for all the amazing football things that Sean Payton did throughout his career, Taysom Hill and his just infatuation with him has caused so many problems for this team. They keep giving him so much money to be just like a bit player.
It's just difficult to... It's one of those things where Taysom... It's not his fault.
No. I'm not blaming Taysom.
No, I know.
I'm saying Payton made some really strange decisions there.
But many people have been annoyed with Taysom Hill as a concept
sure.
for quite a while. And it's just, he's just doing what he can, man. He's just going out there yeah. being an athlete. And so many times I feel like the restriction on Taysom Hill's utilization was entirely due to him needing to be the insurance quarterback.
I heard doo-doo.
Well,
let's continue.
Of course you did.
Don't mind me.
Nice.
John,
just breaking in here.
Jason's contribution. What do you think about John Harbaugh? 3-year extension for the Ravens coach.
I bet he gets another one and then another one. I mean, you know, when you have one of these coaches that have proven they can be around for decades, you don't let them go.
Oh, he's been a pretty big John Harbaugh fan.
Yeah.
Have you followed this Lamar Jackson extension news lately?
Yes, I have.
So, you know, their owner came out and really talked about the fact that this is, his quote was unique as can be, essentially,
okay.
where he's saying Lamar himself is putting the extension on the table, or I mean, on the back burner.
Yeah, that's what I've recently heard, yes.
In part because he wants to go out there and win a title. And so maybe it's a bit of gambling on yourself. You want to get paid a bunch of guaranteed money. You want to be in the Mahomes category. But it's interesting because they've wanted to extend him. That's what you get out of this article, was that they've wanted to extend Lamar for a long time. They're going to extend Lamar. Lamar likes being there. He came out and reiterated that because people wonder, of course, if you're not getting it done. But he's waiting. He's making the decision to table that discussion. He's going to play on his fifth-year option this year.
And he still does not have an agent, right? He is.
I believe that is correct.
Yeah. So, I mean, I have to believe that if he had an agent, he would not be taking
yeah.
this approach. He would be getting paid.
Like, if Lamar Jackson, like the two different scenarios, okay, the Baltimore Ravens end up barely missing the playoffs, or the Baltimore Ravens win the Super Bowl, is his contract extension really that drastically different in those two scenarios? I know the Super Bowl, it's probably worth more, but like in the grand scheme of things,
I think it's worth a lot. I think it's worth a lot more.
You do?
I do, because it's trend. It's where, you know, MVP season a couple of years ago, are we going to be on the bottom part of this division, even with Lamar? Are we going to get over the hump, win a title with Lamar? I think that would be a pretty significant difference in contract extension.
I mean, even with the, I would be leveraging the Watson contract of like, look at this dude who
it's caused complete problems.
Like, this guy didn't play last year. And, you know, the year before that, he had a horrifically bad losing record. And he just got, 200-something guaranteed. So, yeah, that's where we're going to start.
The issue that I've seen come up with the Deshaun Watson contract is the fact that they have these guaranteed clauses for, like, the, you know, almost the immorality clauses. Like,
right,
you
the off-field stuff.
Yeah, he's fine off-field. He's guaranteed. That's
Watson
gonna start,
is?
Yeah.
So he's got immunity against.
Start getting, like, worked into some of these other contracts now and cause, like, across positions, superstars, this is
right.
going to change contracts for the NFL, or has the potential to do so.
Well, and we saw Dak bet on himself in a different scenario, but he even seemingly took the risk and lost that bet by being injured for the
right.
rest of the year and still got paid all the money. So Lamar is going to get his because he is young and a franchise quarterback.
I feel like Dak, I can get it there of – The money the Cowboys were offering wasn't enough for Dak, and he needed to do a bit more, in my opinion. Meanwhile, Lamar is like
he's already been the MVP.
He's winning 75% of his games. Like he is a winner, man.
And I don't know how much of this is wanting to prove yourself versus just a strategy, but if it's a strategy, he won the game because of this Watson contract.
Right,
$80 million more than any other guaranteed quarterback contract in the history of the NFL. Goes to Deshaun Watson in this deal, and
there's still plenty of time to get it done.
Yes. So we'll see. The NFL made a change. Overtime rules. One possession per team in postseason games. The interesting thing to me is that, you know, it makes sense not to change it in the regular season to the degree that you just need to get games over with, right? You can't
right.
just keep extending games. The postseason thing is I think, a good decision, personally.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I do too.
But it is a completely different strategy than what you do in the regular season. If I have this thing set up, me personally as a coach, I am taking the ball second 100% of the time.
I mean, that's wild.
Oh, and that would be the better strategy.
Because you know more about what you need to
exactly
do.
Exactly right. And if the other team happens to score, now you get four downs every single attempt. You know, it's definitely going to be smarter to kick the ball in overtime. This is also a permanent rule change. It was talked about as being like the 1 year trial. This is now how it is going forward. But again, only for postseason, so it won't affect fantasy.
It'll be that until a team gets scored on in overtime, they receive the ball and then have like four fourth down conversions on their drive, and then we'll be back to let's take a look at this.
I thought you were going to say then they get the 2-point conversion and win the game.
Oh, they could do that too.
What else do we have?
Oh, Big Montana!
Why is this in here?
So that we can play this music.
John Schneider, Seahawks GM, said Will Disley.
This is a pro Will Disley podcast.
His leadership is huge. He's a core dude on the offense. Mm. Other teams knew about the talent of Will Disley, and so, I mean, you got Noah Fant there.
No Gerald Everett, though.
So, any help for either of these guys being a fantasy impact player?
No. Wait, is it still, is it still Swag Daddy up there?
Yeah, Swag Daddy Drew Locke okay. is still the quarterback right now.
I think DK Metcalf's getting traded.
You do?
I think he's going to be traded, and he'll be the next. We've had an off season of bomb drops. I'm just going to put I'm going to bet on that being the next transaction, because they came out. Seattle came out with the exact same language they had on Russell Wilson and said, we intend to have DK Metcalf on this roster next year.
Well, he's in the final year of his contract.
Yes,
of his rookie deal. This is the time that you need to pay DK Metcalf, because if you don't, now you're bringing in the franchise thing, the disgruntled superstar wide receiver, and man, if they trade DK...
I mean, is he gruntled right now, or is he already disgruntled?
That is a great question.
I don't think he's already disgruntled, because I don't
think...
No.
Is he
currently gruntled?
Currently gruntled.
I'm taking as a good state of mind.
Yeah.
Oh, that's a good thing?
Yeah, because you don't you start gruntled.
That would have to be a good thing. If disgruntled
is bad. And then you become
disgruntled,
yeah.
If disgruntled is bad, the dis means that gruntled must
be
good.
Brooks has been gruntled for a while.
but I think he is gruntled because
That's not real, is it?
It's a word.
That's a word?
Pleased, satisfied, and contented.
Oh, he's so gruntled right now.
We don't use gruntled enough.
We need to bust this word out.
You mean we didn't use gruntled enough, but that will be a staple this year.
That's a top 10 word.
Oh, how are you this morning?
Oh, I'm gruntled. Very gruntled. That's great. Congratulations.
I thought I was making a joke. I just have a great vocabulary.
Yeah, the nice thing is I don't think he's gotten together with Drew Locke yet, so he's probably gruntled.
Okay. Right. You can get disgruntled quick.
Mm-hmm. Well, as soon as you get together with Drew Locke.
And normally what do we say? He's Mr. Irresponsible, right?
Yeah.
So you're probably like, hey, let's do what Russ is doing with Jerry Jeudy. Let's get out early. Let's do some routes. Let's practice. DK shows up. Guess who's not there?
Oh, yeah. Drew Locke's not
Drew Locke's a little
up,
late.
But that's going to be
he
good.
He stopped
that's
for gonna, a morning gonna, frappuccino.
That's going to keep Metcalf gruntled, though. I will say this. Pete Carroll, at the end of that, we intend for him to be with us comment, did finish saying, there's no way I could imagine playing without him. So
they said a lot of things about Russ.
That's true.
To Andy's point. But I'm saying for Pete Carroll, who is quite old. Like,
were you looking for a more elegant way to say that?
I wasn't sure how hard in the paint I was going to go after it, but
long in the tooth.
Look, he is a veteran gentleman.
Oh my gosh! Experienced in the ways of the world.
He's old.
In his 70s.
He's old.
The transistor radio, I believe, is older.
Right? Yeah. As we learned on this show,
or younger.
How do you trade a franchise quarterback and then a true number one wide receiver? And just keep going. Like, that is you are going into rebuild mode, and
going there now anyways.
But I'm sure that at the moment in time, Pete Carroll does not believe that. He thinks he can win because he believes in the old school high T, we're going to run the ball 40 times a game, and it's going to work.
But does the general manager believe that? And when you look, I mean, there's an argument to be made. If you think you're going to be at the basement of that division, which I certainly think they're going to be at the basement of the division, it's just
for
the way
sure.
it's going to shake out.
Drew Locke?
Yeah.
Okay, yes.
You don't have Bobby Wagner, who's now competing for jobs. You look at the pick haul that you've received for Tyreek Hill and Devontae Adams. Does that not add up to, why have a disgruntled number one receiver when you could have a bunch of gruntled draft picks.
I guess the question is, does DK believe he deserves Davante Adams' money?
They all do.
Yeah, and then I would not want to pay DK that money.
And if I'm DK, start complaining right now when you have a history that is littered with Russell Wilson. Not later when you have a history supplied by Drew Locke's numbers. And you're like, yes, I would have had more than three touchdowns if – I think he's going to be one of the most polarizing wide receivers.
He will.
So if he stays on Seattle, he might be underdrafted because people just don't want to touch that offense, and there could be an opportunity there. I don't know.
It'll be a tough call.
All right, let's take a quick break. Then we'll answer some very important questions. Very important, Jason.
Yeah.
The kinds made just for you.
Oh, we have questions for Jason?
Well, just important ones.
Oh.
The regular ones you and I handle.
Yeah, I'll take the biggies.
Okay. Let's jump into the mailbag.
Mailbag.
Mailbag, yeah! Oh. I don't know about that.
What?
I'm just different.
I liked it.
Thank you.
All right. If you have a question for the show, go to the website, thefantasyfootballers.com. Click the submit a button. Click the submit a button. Click the submit a question button or dial our voicemail hotline 302-464-TFFB. I could hear Al laughing at that one. You like it when I screw up, don't you?
You said butt.
Oh, goodness gracious.
You and Jason are...
Oh, two peas in a pod.
Yeah.
He said pea. Yeah, I was waiting for it.
Yeah, I was too. Let's jump into a voicemail.
Hey, who do you think will win the AFC West next season? Bye. Love the show.
Well, that was quick and...
Yeah.
I mean, it's a question. I threw this one up on Twitter, actually, a while back, so I'm curious your opinion, and I'll tell you what the Foot Clan said.
I think that the Chargers will win. I think they have just as good a quarterback as all of these teams, and I love their head coach, their philosophy. They've upgraded their defense. They're my pick.
I think the Broncos will win the division. With Russ, that team was primed and ready to go last year, and you put a Hall of Fame quarterback on that team, it's going to be a big turnaround for
them. I love that pick.
I am rooting for the Chargers to win the division. I think the Chiefs win it. I think the Chiefs hold on.
Okay.
They held on to it. They figured it out. Draft, free agency, Andy Reid. That's all there is to it. They'll get it done. Chargers, this is the time of year that they get a lot of love, and it's hard because, I love Justin Herbert. I love what they did on the defensive side. I think it's going to be very close. The far and away runaway winner was the Chargers on the poll.
Yeah, it makes sense.
21,000 votes. 47% picked the Chargers. The real surprise is who came in number two on that poll, and it's the Raiders at 21%, which they very well could compete in that division as well.
They have added a lot of pieces to both sides of the ball, and they were a 10-win team. It makes complete sense, and they have every ability to win this division. It's just very difficult, and usually at the end of the day when you go, let's see which team wins the most in a division, it comes down to quarterback. And Derek Carr is a fine quarterback.
Right.
He can win games. But Derek Carr is not Patrick Mahomes, Justin Herbert, and Russell Wilson. He's just not on that Hall of Fame level.
Is it mathematically possible now with the extra team in the playoffs for all four teams in one division to make
it? It is possible.
Is it?
Yes, it is. I believe that there is a – Kyle can confirm, but I think there's a bet out there on that.
Yeah, you can put some money on that right now.
The Raiders' win total is 8.5. And, you were right. Derek Carr's not as good as these other quarterbacks. He still made the playoffs over Justin Herbert last year.
For science, does anyone know what the odds are on that?
I mean, you probably get like plus...
It's got to be...
1,000? I don't know.
It was like plus 2,000.
Yeah.
Okay.
Not impossible, but you do have to go through the gauntlet of playing one another throughout the year.
Well, yeah, you need
which just knocks off that win total.
You need a bunch of stuff not related to these teams.
I mean, it's so brutal because the Raiders' win total is 8.5. And I can see them winning. I can see them winning 12 games.
Right.
And I can see them winning 4 games. That's how I feel.
4 is too few, but I get what your point is. Like it's a very difficult division, and they could end up losing the majority of their division games.
Doesn't the AFC West have Kyle? Who's their NFC matchup next year? Because I think that I saw like a schedule made for who the quarterbacks Mahomes is facing. And it was a gauntlet even outside of the division. So
we'll find it.
Will you figure that out? Yeah, I just know that the schedules, might, at least for the Chiefs, it looked like there were some pretty challenging games even outside of the Russell Wilson, Justin Herbert, Derek Carr equation. So for what it's worth, the Chiefs came in last on the poll. The Broncos just above them, 15.7 to 15.3.
The AFC South and the NFC West.
So, NFC West?
Oh, yeah.
No, let me read through this.
NFC West is right, because I know we play against Russell again this year, even though he's a Bronco.
Oh, my God. That means that they play the Seahawks.
Yep.
Oh, boy. That's good TV. That's great TV.
It is.
Russ is putting out a good amount of content equally among all three wide receivers lately. Getting out there early in the morning. Did you see that video with him and Jerry Jeudy now?
Oh, unlimited.
Always. He's a talented fella.
Yep.
Likes to work. All right, Instagram question. Michael Pittman and Terry McLaurin are fighting for my flex. Who's going to win?
Oh, man.
Michael Pittman and Terry McLaurin, who's going to win?
So Michael Pittman will have Matt Ryan throwing him the ball. Terry McLaurin has Carson stupid dumb face. So SS.
No.
No, we're not going with it.
That's just really intense, man.
But it is, to be fair, that is what Mike has called him.
Yeah. And you're not in on that?
Stupid dumb face?
You've always been the Carson Wentz hater here. Right. I don't think Andy and I have hated Carson Wentz nearly as much as you do.
That's true. But you know who also hates him now? The Indianapolis Colts. They do not like Carson Wentz.
You want to know who's going to hate him soon?
Yeah. Well,
the Commanders.
Yeah, Terry McLaurin. Terry, I think, is the better wide receiver, but Matt Ryan is the much better quarterback. That's a really tough
question. It's a tough question. I'll take Terry because of what I think this offense is going to need from the passing game. Very close.
It is a very close call. I will take Pittman. He's 24 years old. I think he's still coming into his prime. We have not seen his best. He's about to. We're going to see if
Which
he levels
up. Which
one
are you talking about?
And, well, McLaurin is actually a little older, right? He's 26.
Aren't they both coming into year three?
27.
No.
Well,
no. No, Terry McLaurin is coming into year four. He needs a new contract.
Yeah, and
he's
and
one
he was,
ahead of Pittman.
Yeah, and he was drafted a little bit older as well. He was an older prospect.
Yeah, he'll
so,
be turning 27.
He's on the DJ Moore schedule?
Yeah, except way older.
In life.
Because DJ Moore is still like 19.
Like Pete Carroll.
19.
Got it.
But I think that Michael Pittman has a chance to really level up this year and be a one. I could see him being a wide receiver one easier than Terry McLaurin this year.
I am going to be curious what the Colts do in the draft regarding the wide receiver position. They need some – it doesn't necessarily take away from Pittman, but they need some young blood.
They do need some help. I do know that they still – for some reason, believe in Paris Campbell. They've said that they still think he's got a lot to offer. They're wrong, but they believe it.
Instagram question from Fancy Pool Boy.
Okay.
How early is too early to draft Debo? Yeah, we're. Thank you. I mean, this is a really good question to me because. Where would you fault somebody at drafting the player that finished at number two at wide receiver?
The hardest part for Debo Samuel going into this year is we don't know who the quarterback is going to be. I think that the odds on favorite is still that it is Trey Lance. So while he is technically not a rookie, it's essentially his rookie season. His first season as a full-time starter, and we've talked about at length, you know, of how wide receivers fare with a rookie quarterback, and it is just not well.
Yeah,
so it would be a downgrade if Trey Lance is the starter.
Yeah, I mean the reality is Debo's such an enigma. He only had 77 receptions, but he got the ball 59 times on the ground, so he's touching the ball a lot. He's the centerpiece of this offense. I think the first round is off limits for me. That's too to answer the question. How high is too high? I'm not taking him in the first. I think you can make an argument in the second because of what he represents for this offense. I mean, it goes both ways, right? Like he had 8 rushing touchdowns, and touchdowns are the not sticky stat. So those could very easily go away, especially if they don't have the running back injuries that they had this year, or they add some depth in the draft. And if those go away, then Debo is a good wide receiver, not a fantasy superstar. But on the other hand, he didn't have 8 rushing touchdowns for no reason. He was unstoppable and dominant, and they said, oh, let's let him score all of these, and that could happen again.
It's really easy to trust Shanahan to get the ball to his best players. And you talk about the Jeff Wilson signing. Oh, you got your backup. Mostert's gone. Some of that equation could just be like, yeah, we really liked how it went when we gave the ball to Debo out of the backfield, and we won all those games consecutively. Like, it's not like everything's down the field for Debo. So while I think maybe it would bring a lot more hesitation, there's still an outcome where Trey Lance is the starter and Debo just replicates.
Sure. Right now, what I can find here for Underdog, their current ADP, which, because you can draft right now if you want. Right now, Debo is going at the beginning of the second, but behind Cooper Kupp, Jamar,
Jefferson.
Justin Jefferson, Adams, and Hill. It will be interesting.
I was going
to
ask Tyreek versus Debo. That was the big question for
me.
We'll
see if the ADP shifts now with the trades.
What are the wide receivers behind Debo?
Diggs, A.J. Brown, CeeDee Lamb.
Would you take Tyreek in Miami, or would you take Debo? Because, I mean, Tyreek is got
– yeah.
It's a rookie quarterback for him. They've never played together.
Well, yeah. Yeah, I think I'd go Debo.
I would go Tyreek. But I don't blame you at all for going Debo, because which guy finishes outside the top 15 at wide receiver more likely might actually be Tyreek. But man, that's tough.
All right, Twitter question from Jacob. Love the show. Dynasty trade question. Would you trade Dalvin Cook for Darnell Mooney in a first? I wouldn't right now, personally.
Would not either.
I think you can probably get more. But then that's the reason I would say no, is because I think you can get more. I don't hate the trade.
I
don't love it, though.
I think top to bottom, the Bears are a bottom 5 team in the entire league.
Their roster's not great.
And so that may have ramifications here. Obviously, Mooney's going to have a longer career at this point moving forward than Dalvin Cook.
Yeah.
But how good is it?
Were either of you, maybe you knew this, I didn't, they just signed Byron Pringle mm-hmm. over to the Bears opposite of Mooney, and I was really surprised to find out he's 28 years old.
Pringle?
Yeah. I did not, I must have missed the first few years of his career. I think most people did.
Yeah, I mean, I think he was muddled on special teams and not being super involved in the offense, but yeah, I mean, that's not a headline signing for that roster. Byron Pringle.
Right.
They need help.
Oh, wow. He's only played 3 years. So I didn't miss the beginning. He just was drafted super old.
Well, he wasn't drafted. Like, I think he fought his way onto a roster.
Yeah.
All right. Instagram question. Oh, this is great. From Jay Sarwin 3 says, why doesn't Jason say goodbye at the end of each show?
Oh, that's just Mike's gig.
That's my job.
Same reason. Yeah, exactly. Same reason. I don't know. Mailbag. Same reason Mike doesn't eat churros. Like, we have our things that we are responsible
for.
Well,
I eat churros, so.
I think they're writing, too, because, like, Andy usually says goodbye or signs off in some way, so I think that's where they're coming from.
Yeah, right. I mean, I'll say a quick, I'll close it out, and then Mike is there to just fill the gap.
Exclamation point.
Too many cooks in the kitchen can get you in trouble.
Speaking of churros.
Before we get to the churros, what if we'll try for this show? I'll be good, and you with the bye.
Oh, absolutely!
But you guys are going to try to make it sound like one person,
because
people already confuse your voices. Apparently,
yeah. Well, that's the funny thing about this question is he thinks it's actually me that says goodbye at the end of every episode.
Yeah.
Don't forget,
you throw your voice well. I mean, between the drops for the show and the
welcome.
Well, this one's interesting. Instagram question from EZKPZ says, dynasty trade Juju or Calvin Ridley?
Yeah, that's an easy one.
You got to go Juju. You got to go with the player who's actually playing
and
in a really good situation.
Yeah, his situation is great. He's younger. He's playing football. That's a home run.
I find myself now in the place where, since I've traded for Juju before this transaction to the Chiefs and the Tyreek move.
You question your bias?
No.
Oh.
No, I mean, I think everyone is now accepting what Juju is and isn't in the NFL. But I don't think I'm shopping him. I think the fun of fantasy football is to see what happens when something interesting happens. And I just want that to happen on my team.
Yes.
Does that make sense?
Oh, because I'm 100% guilty of that. Every time I hit in free agency, I keep that player. Like, that's just that's just my personality. Is I'm gonna ride this thing out. If I'm left holding the bag for something I could have traded a bit ago, so be it.
It's
I'm going
exciting.
For home runs.
It's exciting. It's fun. It's new, and he's still young. And who knows? It's Patrick Mahomes.
Yeah.
What if?
Yeah, and mm-hmm. just to illustrate, we've brought up my Dynasty Startup draft I'm in a couple of times, but Juju went in the 6th round, and Calvin Ridley went in the 12th round. So the value is gapped there.
I mean, Ridley he's like four giant Riddler question marks.
Yes.
Where it's like the suspension of and the betting and the team, will he be there? And the mental health, will he be there?
And will he play football? Last we saw him, he chose to not play at all.
And yeah, and then he needs a new contract. Like there are.
Is he the,
and he's
is
older.
He the Riddler?
Oof. I don't know.
Calvin Ridley? Riddler?
Goodness gracious.
Yeah, he is.
We have to wait a whole year for him to come back. And we just
make some more headlines, Calvin. Calvin Riddler.
It's right there.
We'll see.
I'm in.
You guys like Golden Corral, though, right?
Oh, Golden Corral's great. It's all you can eat, baby. Yeah. No, I'm
talking for Matt Corral.
Yes.
Yeah, Jason, I think.
You just didn't mean it in general?
Any and all buffet references.
I'm going to be in.
Yeah.
All right. one more for you. Instagram from Justin. Allen Robinson or Amari Cooper this season? A lot of people answered. I posted, who's a player that you will not draft when you should draft because of previous scars? Allen Robinson's name was up there a lot.
Oh, he is 100% on my do not draft list. And I'm fine. We've talked about this. I can be wrong about that. I'm not saying that no one should draft Allen Robinson. I have chosen that I think he is not going to be anything special. And so I'm fine to be wrong on that. But I would definitely take Amari Cooper over Allen Robinson. And
is that on the – just to be clear, is that across the board or is that on the basis that you think OBJ is going to be re-signed? Like, you look at the depth chart on the week one of the season and it really feels like – like, there's a world where Allen Robinson outperforms everybody but Cooper Kupp on this offense.
Yeah, I mean, there's definitely some projection going on behind the scenes there. I think that it's there's a world where Baker is actually the backup for the Browns this year, and so when you don't have Deshaun Watson, you're not dropping too far, and I do think that Beckham will be back for the Rams.
I'd take Robinson. I think that looking at it, if they both truly hit, I think that Robinson's ceiling is higher than Amari Cooper this year, and you have, like, the way I'm projecting it, Watson will miss games this year.
I just want to say something. I'm really proud of you, Mike.
For
Allen Robinson personally wrecked you this last
year.
You chose him. You didn't think he'd fall to where you were. You chose him over the player you thought you were going to grab at your draft spot.
Yes.
And he just flung poop in your face all year. And you are saying, you can't hurt me. These scars have healed, and I am willing to go back in on you. Because I find that that I'm very vindictive right now towards Allen Robinson.
And you love Melvin Gordon.
Oh, yeah. Let's re-sign, no. baby!
Any other thoughts?
Goodness gracious. No. Okay. No, wait, you didn't weigh in. Would you go Robinson or Cooper?
Amari Cooper.
Hanging with Mr. Cooper.
Yeah, I mean, he's got the cool drop.
There it is.
Yeah, I mean, speaking of that Watson-Baker situation, how do you do it if you're Baker? How do you walk into that locker room? How do you walk into the front door other than to pick up your paycheck?
I totally agree. I mean, it's one of those things maybe you sit
out. I don't know if I would do it.
I get that. And he might sit out. He's obviously a proud man who already put out his like PR statement before right. Watson was signed that he sounded like he wasn't coming back. That being said, there was not a trade market for you, Baker. Mm-hmm. And his agent is probably saying, hey, you might need some film. Because what we saw last was you injured, and nobody's coming and knocking. It doesn't cost much to get you, and there's no potential suitors right now. So the best thing you can do is act like a grown-up, go keep your head up high, say the right things, play well, and you will go. If he goes and plays for six missed games and plays well at his age and former number one guy, he'll get a big contract from someone the following year.
Or Jacoby Brissett plays those six games and Baker's the third string quarterback. That's not active on game day until they find a trade partner.
Yeah.
Sure.
And maybe I'm thinking too much on the dark side. But if you're Cleveland, are you 100% sure you can put all the eggs in the basket of Baker as our backup? I know, like, they got Jacoby, but, like, can you really plan?
No.
That Baker is going to be the guy who fills in the gap? Or is Baker like, caught a flat on the way to the game. Sorry, y'all.
What you need is you need film, but not from Baker. You need it from these other starters around the league. And when the Drew Locke film with a different jersey comes on, or one of those teams, or when the Carson Wentz experiment goes sideways, that's when, hopefully, he finds himself a new home. And it's in the Browns. It's to their benefit to move him because you're going to have an asset that isn't a disgruntled old backup.
Yeah, a gruntled Baker is more fun.
He wasn't gruntled for long there.
Well, I'm saying off season or off field. Him in the commercials.
Yeah, he's very gruntled in the commercials.
And you know who was never gruntled was Jarvis and OBJ. They were never gruntled there.
That's true. That's true.
All right, that'll do it for us. Thank you for supporting the show, following the show, youtube.com/thefantasyfootballers to watch.
Good. Bye.
Thank you for listening to another episode of the Fantasy Footballers Podcast. Join our fantasy football community on jointhefoot.com and follow us on Twitter @TheFFBallers.